Greetings and welcome to the TCT Artist Exchange. Looks like we've all navigated through another amazing summer. Enunciated with relaxing vacations, backyard cookouts, emotionally enduring reunions, newfound friendships. Yeah, by all measure, for most of us, this has been quite an unforgettable summer. And for certain, the transformation from summer to fall brings an entirely different palette of challenges to our connecting. As those leaves change color, we embrace brand new environments. Schools reopen, travel is redirected toward new career paths or just total relocation. And then, before you have the opportunity to saturate in the glow of all of those bigger moments, we realize that the ornate holiday season is right around that next corner. And without a doubt, the holidays are when we connect most broadly across the spectrum of our society, in one form or another. Regardless of identity, we are all family. So today, here on the TCT Artist Exchange, we're going to open up this window and invite you to come on in to our family connection.
Maybe I could be the right guy. Come to me when the time's right. I took guitar lessons from the time I was about 12 or 13, thinking my real fantasy initially was I'm going to be an A-list session guitar player. All the rock people are going to call me to play on their record dates, but they're not. I'm never going to. But I thought, never singing. I will never have the courage to do that. So it's remarkable. I have no idea what changed. My very first boyfriend encouraged me a lot. And I think because I had such a big crush on him and it was not reciprocal, I thought this is how I would win his heart. You know, I would sing because he liked it. Isn't that the way it always happens?
Take the time to really look at ourselves, it isn't too difficult to understand that even through all of our similarities and all of our differences, we are all still one really big family. And we're connected by all the mechanisms of living. We are actually no different than any one of our neighbors. You know, the neighbor that might talk a little louder in conversation, or the one that insists on using a few extra spices while cooking, or the one that refuses to drive a red car because it's bad luck, or the one that wishes that they were taller so they can reach items on a higher shelf, or the one that's a little envious of those that can swim or are better dancers, or that can recite poetry, or can name every state capital in America. And how about that helpful neighbor? You know, the one that constantly retrieves your recycle bin when they retrieve their own, or the one who moves out of state but remembers to call you 6 months later to wish you a happy birthday, or to share life news like an unfortunate medical diagnosis that they've just received, or an upcoming wedding, or the birth of the most recent addition to the family. As family, we share these and more than 1,000 other bonding moments every single day, because we recognize that we are all family. And everything that happens, everything that's said, everything that's done, it's all in the realm of our collective normal. What may from a distance seem different in a household away from our own is surprisingly similar to how we all live and function every day. It's nothing short of a miracle that as family, we can all adjust and tweak our lives just a little or a lot, but enough to allow us to fully embrace the differences that make us the same. You know, it's no big secret that I have a personal indulgence that I'll share with all of you, because as family, we can comfortably share in our secrets. I just love Kit Kat candy bars. Now, I'm sure just about everyone on the planet knows about and probably has tried those delicious crispy wafer fingers just covered in creamy milk chocolate. The Kit Kat bar has been around for over 90 years. Just for a quick history, the Kit Kat bar was originally created by Roundtrees of York, England, in about 1935 or so. Roundtrees was a chocolate company in the UK that was eventually bought by the Nestle Corporation. Here in the United States, the Kit Kat bar is marketed by the Hershey Company. I like them as the perfect anytime snack food. And I'm not the only one that enjoys that wonderful taste of the Kit Kat bar. Today, we're going to share the story of a unique friend to the program. His name is Andrew, and his love of the Kit Kat bar is merely one of the many things that connects Andrew to all of us. So stay right here, and we'll tell you all about Andrew and his amazing family here on the TCT Artist Exchange.
Swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. It kicks up at anything he hears. His back is brawny and his brain is weak. He's just playing stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule. Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a pig? I'm Craig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He ain't got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig. Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a fish? A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. It can't write his name or read a book. And to fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught. But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. And all the monkeys aren't in the zoo. Every day you meet quite a few. So you see, it's all up to you. But you can be better than you are.
Every time I hear a Disney song, it immediately brings to mind family. All of those great feel-good Disney family movies and shows. Thoughts of family sitting together watching Disney programs. Thoughts of Disney on Ice. Disney World. All about connecting with family. And so many memorable Disney characters. Donald Duck, Goofy, Pluto, Minnie Mouse, and hundreds of others. They're all connected as one big family. And the glue that constantly holds that family together is Mickey Mouse. Mickey represents everything Disney. He's the grounded rock that's always there to support all the other Disney characters. Mickey represents strength and stability. That's the essence of family. And so it's easy to see why Mickey is the favorite Disney character of our good friend Andrew. Andrew is 46 years old. He was born on Valentine's Day, February 14th. As an infant, the world seemed normal enough for Andrew and his family. But as a child, Andrew demonstrated signs of difficulty with things like motor skill and speech. It was as a child that Andrew was diagnosed with both cerebral palsy and severe autism.
Cerebral palsy means brain condition causing paralysis. So essentially, cerebral palsy refers to damage to the brain that causes loss of muscle control.
Cerebral palsy, known as CP for short, is actually a group of similar neurological disorders that affect body movement and muscle coordination.
Autism, or autism spectrum disorder, is a developmental disorder that affects communication, social interaction, and behavior.
The rates have increased to now 1 in 36 U.S. children have a diagnosis of autism, which is over 2 years ago, it was 1 in 44.
So our good friend Andrew lives with the combination disabilities of both cerebral palsy, which affects him physically, and autism, which redirects his behavior, his communication, and his social skills. And just like all of us, what surrounds Andrew's space is the dedication and deep love of his very close-knit family. All throughout Andrew's lifetime, his conditions have brought immeasurable challenges and hurdles. And because to date, there's still no science or medical cure for his condition, that paramount strength, love, and guidance of family has normalized Andrew's existence, just like any one of us. It wasn't always easy, though. Let's listen to Andrew's mother, Donna, explained just how hard answers were to come by 40 years ago.
There are two ways that autism will manifest itself. Of course, there was nothing known back then about it, but it can be evident from birth early on that you see signs of it. But some cases don't present until they're about 3 or 4. They develop, like, cognitively, he was developing normally. I had him in an early intervention program, which is wonderful.
Right.
And so I know I have all the reports that cognitively he was developing normally. But all of a sudden, like in a week, he shut down. I didn't know what happened. He withdrawn to himself. He don't look at anybody. No more speech. Nothing.
Mm.
I thought maybe he had a brain tumor or something.
Right.
So I take him to the doctor because I was so scared. And they did a whole workup, and the psychologist talked with me, and she said it's something called autism, and she said we don't really know much about it. The only thing I can tell you, and I remember to this day, she said, they want to retreat in their own world, and you have to do as much as you can to bring him back into this world.
Yeah.
Intrude on his world and bring him back as much as you can. So that became my mission. And back then, there was no internet.
Right.
You couldn't find many materials on autism at all. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of flying by the seat of my pants.
Right.
And trying to read everything in a psychology book or whatever that might explain it. But there was, you don't have access to information.
Sure.
Now you can go on the internet. And plus, because it's more recognized and it's increasing, you know, have the benefit of being more informed and the benefit of having access to programs that work with kids with autism.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that back then at all. So I just always remember what the psychologist tell me. I keep trying to intrude on his world, which was very difficult. And then I say to myself, this was a really like a turning point. I said, you know, he had language before. It has to be in his brain somewhere.
Right.
We're going to get this out. I start one syllable at a time. I have a zip bag of Cheerios, which he liked. So for hours every day, I put the Cheerio to his mouth and I say, Ma, because that's one of the first words. It's easy to pronounce.
Right.
He don't say anything. I pull it away. I say, Ma, and he goes to the chair, and I pull it away. 6 months of that for hours every day, and I will never forget the moment that he finally say, Ma. I know exactly where we were in the kitchen. I pictured so clear because he finally said it. I give him the cheer. I felt like I won the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
It was better than that. It was like finally a breakthrough. But most parents will tell you to get this to happen. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's months of hard work, sometimes it's years, and sometimes it's even decades to get each behavior to change. It is that difficult and challenging.
Did he recognize that that was an emotional moment for you?
No.
No.
They don't understand emotion. That take a long time with him to decades. That was a decades in making.
Okay.
But so from there, I make him say another thing, same method I keep using. So gradually, very gradually, the speech come back.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear his speech is disjointed. That's from the cerebral palsy when he seemed to stutter a lot.
Right.
Or can't pronounce certain the sounds of certain letters.
Yes.
43 years later, and I still get so emotional when I share that. And I know many other parents have these experiences too. And it means the world to them when their child can make even the tiniest advance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're not talking like big things. Every step is a miracle.
Every step is a miracle.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I think most parents would feel that. Someone who doesn't have a child with disability, you often hear, oh, I could never do what you do.
Yeah.
And I say, sure you could. I'm no different than anybody else. if you have a child with disability, you just do it because you love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, everyone on earth could do what I do. I'm just a regular person. Sometimes it's very frustrating, and you almost feel like throwing in the towel, and then you have to talk to yourself, no, we got to keep going with this. We've got to keep going.
Yeah. Hi, I thought I'd drop by. So nice to see you. It's been too long since I was holding you. I've been holding on to a prayer, 'cause my dreams never seem to come true. I'm never letting go, never letting go, never letting go. It's not that easy. But I can't live without you. I left the kitchen light on these past three nights. It don't blow out, just keep shining bright. And now your eyes lay dance away from mine. Is it someone else again this time? I'm never letting go, never letting go, never letting go. It's not that easy. I'm never letting go, never letting go, never letting go. I'm crazy about you, yeah.
You know, we try to focus our efforts on things that people can do. And even with our recreational events, those are places where families can come and be with other families who are living the same life as them, where they don't have to worry. So if we do an autism-friendly movie in the theater, the families that go there know that if their kid gets up and is running around or making noise, it's okay because everybody else there is in the same boat. We all understand that's as opposed to just going in to try to watch a movie, you know, with the general population. Absolutely. There are, you know, there are some threads of commonality that go through, but in terms of being able to survive and live and have daily living skills, it varies. Certainly people with autism tend to have great memories, but again, that's rare. It's not like every individual, you know, on the spectrum is going to have a spot skill. Many have, you know, very specific and profound needs and challenges. Some have profound needs and challenges and a savant skill. Some have profound needs and challenges and no savant skill.
You know, he knows that. We have a very nice young gentleman at work on the 2 days he doesn't go to program, and he works with them for 2 hours on like educational things, and he gets so much out of that because it's one-on-one instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do that at school where he is. Everyone needs one-on-one attention.
Right, right, right.
They do the best they can, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
They have a lot of challenges, but he teaches them the capital of every state and every president in order.
Yes.
If someone's on the television, they talk about a certain state, right away he'll say the capital of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think every parent who has a child with a disability says, well, this is our normal.
Yeah, exactly.
And you accept that it's not like, everybody's normal is different anyway. I mean, a lot of times I'd be out in public or McDonald's or something with the three of them, and you'd see a mother walking by with like a three-year-old child kind of staring at him. They'd say, what's wrong with that boy?
Mm-hmm.
And the mother would be like, oh, no, no. I said, excuse me. I said, don't worry about that. So I talked to the child, and I said, what's wrong is he can't walk. His legs are not mm-hmm. strong like yours. So he's different in that way. But I said, I think you both have a lot of things in common. I said, do you like McDonald's Happy Meal? Oh, yes, yes. I said, guess what? He loves Happy Meals. And I said, I'm going to tell you, tell them your birthday, and he tells them the day of the week, and they're like, oh, how did he do that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, see, there's some things you can do that he cannot, but there's things you cannot do that he can do. This is a learning opportunity, I look at it, for a child to understand someone who have disability. They're different, but you're the same, too. Andrew actually teaches us a lot without knowing it.
Really?
See, he teach us lessons about life that we don't see. Andrew challenges us to be a better person.
Wow.
Like sweet morning dew, I took one look at you. It was plain to see you were my destiny.
With arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life to you. I'll be going where you lead.
Come on, baby.
Always there in time of need.
Oh, man, when I lose the wind, you'll be there to push me up the hill. There's no looking back for us.
Much more in the life of our good friend Andrew in part two of his story very soon, and of how meaningful the embrace of all of us as family is so very important to him. We'll introduce the others in his circle, as well as connecting with the broad community of other strong families adjusting forward through the disabilities of their own members. So to keep following this story, please come back soon for more Family Connections here on the TCT Artist Exchange. Today we heard some incredible music on this episode. We opened with a song called Part-Time Lover. And then Dennis Van Arsen brought us his version of a Disney classic, Swinging on a Star. We heard a couple of songs by that songstress Phoebe Snow, Something Real and Never Letting Go. We played a classic by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, You're All I Need to Get By. And I think we're going to close the show with another classic that's appropriate for this episode. Here's James Taylor and his version of How Sweet It Is. And we'll see you next time, right here on the TCT Artist Exchange. Thanks for listening.
Just to thank you, baby. Yes, I do.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Well, I'm gonna close my eyes and not now. Wondering where will I be without you? So thank you, baby.
Yet now, and the thing so strong, and the feeling so right. to the BB, sugar to the sugar cane, jelly to the donut. It's like a rock to a lonely man. Oh, I know
to be loved, to be loved, to be truly, truly loved.
To be loved, to be loved.
All to do us a favor now. Feels just about right. Ooh, yeah. Feels all right tonight. Oh, no, 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 no. Back in Boston, the handsome land of the scenic beam. Yes, to be loved by you.